listening to Tears of Aqsa with Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Wednesdays 9 to 10 a.m. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baam. I'll be your host until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, we have Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Now, how's Maulana feeling this morning?
Alhamdulillah. We take this opportunity of also greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, in our last few weeks, we were discussing about the tears. We doing the topic Tears of Aqsa, and we said that we're going to go back into time and explain about the Masjid al-Aqsa itself, coming with the historical view from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And we mentioned the different prophets that were there in al-Aqsa. We also mentioned about the land of Palestine itself, the first populated center. We also said about Masjid al-Aqsa itself. And in our last week, we were discussing about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, with his extreme love for al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa. And towards the end, we mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his desire was that he comes to Masjid al-Aqsa, but that wasn't to be. And we've seen that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is just a stone's throw away from Masjid al-Aqsa. I think that's where we concluded. Now, and we also mentioned that there was a prophet by the name of Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam in this camp of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Who and what are the details of Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just to recap what you have said, I would like to recap with a hadith relating to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that the angel of death was sent to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa slapped him on the eye. And the angel turned to Allah and said, "You have sent me to a servant who does not want to die." Allah Ta'ala then ordered the angel, "Return to him and tell him to put his hand on the back of an ox. And for every hair that will come under it, he will be granted 1 year of life." And Musa said, "Oh Allah, what will happen after that?" And Allah replied, "Then death." And Musa then said, "Let it be now." However, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested Allah to let him die close to the sacred land, so much so that he would be just a distance of a stone's throw away from Al-Aqsa, or from the precincts of the sanctuary of Al-Aqsa. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu then added that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, if I were there, meaning if I was there near the Aqsa, I would show you his grave below the red sand on the side of the road. Now, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's qabr is very close to Masjid al-Aqsa. If you travel to Masjid al-Aqsa and you go through Jordan, the border of Jordan, on the way to the masjid is the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely emotional, that he was not able to enter. And scholars say that if we feel bad, that sometimes if we are prevented from going to Masjid al-Aqsa, then we should also keep in mind that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was also prevented because of the Bani Israel. If we recall in the last discussion we had, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was saved from Fir'aun, and when Allah Ta'ala said, gave him an instruction to enter into Aqsa, udkhulul Ard al-Muqaddas, enter into the land, the noble land, the holy land, his people, the Bani Israel, refused to go and said, you go and fight because there are strong people in there. And as a result, Allah Ta'ala made them wander in the land. For 40 years, they just wandered around. And in that time, Musa alayhi salatu was salam experienced death. Harun alayhi salatu was salam, who was with him, also was gripped by death. And the other Nabi, or at that time who was not yet a Nabi, was Yusha alayhi salatu was salam. So Yusha alayhi salatu was salam then becomes basically the ruler, the leader of the Bani Israel, whom Musa alayhi salatu was salam appointed him as his successor, and he then conquers Jerusalem, the only man who Allah paused the sun for. And you ask now some of the details of Yusha alayhi salatu was salam. I thought that it was just necessary just to bring our discussion in light with where we had concluded last week. Mm-hmm. So the name Yusha is the Arabic form of the Hebrew name Yahusha. Yahusha is the Hebrew name, and the Arabic name is Yusha. It means salvation. Yahweh, it means salvation. Allah's salvation. Now, this name was given to him, to Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, subhanallah, by Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And his original name was Hushia. But Musa added the first part of it as Yahusha. So it was Hushia, and Musa alayhi salatu wassalam added the Ya, Yahusha, and the name is shortened as Yusha or Yeshua in the Old Testament. In the English world, he is known as Joshua in the Bible. Now, his lineage, his full name was Yusha, the son of Nun, the son of Ephraim, the son of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, who was the son of Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, and who was the son of Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu wassalam, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So that is the lineage of Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam. Yusha bin Nun bin Ephraim bin Yusuf bin Yaqub bin Ishaq bin Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Which makes Yusha the great grandson of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And out of his six forefathers, four of them were Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Subhanallah. What a honorable and noble lineage did Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam enjoy. That his, the four grandsons in his lineage, or grandfathers in his lineage, that were the Anbiya, is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wassalam, Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, according to what we learn is that he was born in Egypt prior to the Exodus, prior to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam leaving Egypt with the Bani Israel. And a brief overview is that Yusha bin Nun was one of the prophets that was sent to the Bani Israel after Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi Yusha was the one responsible for leading an army into Jerusalem and conquering it with the Bani Israel. Now, before this point, they were all wandering in the desert, as we've mentioned, for 40 years as a punishment from Allah Ta'ala due to the constant disobedience of the commandments of Allah Ta'ala by the Bani Israel. Because of the constant disobedience of the Bani Israel, the constant disobedience of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were given this punishment of just aimlessly wandering in the desert of Sinai for 40 years. Nabi Musa alayhim salatu wassalam and his brother Nabi Harun alayhi salatu wassalam both of them passed away during this wandering period. And we've given the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu describing the death and the circumstances of the death of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam was given the leadership of the Bani Israel before the demise of Musa. He had taken over the leadership role of the Bani Israel after the death of Musa and after Nabi Harun died 2 years before Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. According to Ibn Kathir, Nabi Harun died 2 years before Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That gives us a little bit of history of Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam, his lineage and how he became the Nabi and the leader of the Bani Israel. If you come to the Islamic traditions, in the Islamic tradition, he is more popularly known as the servant and the student of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also. So Yusha is known as the servant of Musa and even the student of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was directly tutored by Nabi Musa. In fact, in the story of Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, which is mentioned in Surah Kahf, in the Quran, as mentioned in the ayat, he is also said to be one of the two referred to in the ayah. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقْبًا. Where Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, ayah number 60, that recall, when Musa said to his young man, I shall not give up until I reach the meeting point of the two seas, or else I shall go on traveling for years. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah Ta'ala that he should go and meet someone that is more knowledgeable than him in certain matters, he was commanded to go to the place where the two seas meet. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took his student and his servant with him. And Allah Ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ, when Musa said to his young man, this young man, according to many tafsir, was actually Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam. So, directly relating to the Bani Musa and the entry of the Bani Israel into Jerusalem, Palestine, Allah says in the Quran, again, some reference to Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first reference to Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam was when Musa said to his servant. The second reference in the Quran Kareem relating to Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam is in the Quran Kareem where Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَ ادْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam actually said to the Bani Israel, اُدْخُلُوا أَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ, enter into the noble land, and when they said to Musa alayhimu salatu wasalam that you go because we are not going to go, we are going to stay here, and there are very strong men there, until you and your Allah go and defeat them, we are not going to go there. Allah Ta'ala says that there were two men that stood in support of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala rajulan, said two men from those who feared to disobey upon whom Allah had bestowed his favor, and enter upon them through the gate, for when you have entered it, you will be victorious. So this person, according to the ayat of the Quran Kareem, where Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ, one of them is Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam. It was Harun and Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah makes reference to. So this is another reference in the Quran Kareem relating to Yusha, Joshua alayhi salatu wasalam. The context of this verse is, as I said, when Musa commanded the Bani Israel to go into Jerusalem to claim it, they refused because they feared its inhabitants, who were very strong people. They refused to fight them. They refused to fight them, and Yusha was one of the people who tried to persuade them into going into the battle with the inhabitants. And due to their disobedience, Allah Ta'ala forbade them to be able to enter into Jerusalem, and they were made to wander in the desert for 40 years, as mentioned. Now, one of the wisdoms behind their wandering, why were they left? Why were the Bani Israel left to wander in the desert? Mufassirin have said that one of the wisdoms behind them wandering is said to be that Allah Ta'ala did not want anyone who had worshipped the calf to enter Jerusalem. Again, in the history of Musa alayhi salatu was salam in the Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salatu was salam went to Mount Tur, those that were left behind made a cow, and they an object made like a cow, and they began to worship it. So Allah Ta'ala did not want any one of them to be among those who enter Jerusalem. Therefore, after 40 years, that whole generation had passed away, and a total new generation was brought up under the direct teachings of Musa, Harun, and Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam. And it was this new generation, under the leadership of Yusha, that was allowed to enter Jerusalem with victory. According to some sources, Yusha was present at the time of the death of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and some literature records that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam's garments were with Yusha at the time of his departure. In other words, he inherited even some of the clothing of Musa, of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Tim and I went into a long discussion, although we've still not covered Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam.
As we were speaking, we mentioned about the setting of the sun. So the other question comes into mind. What is the miracle of Yusha alayhi salam in the setting of the sun?
Tim and I, it is reported that when Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam eventually then went with the Bani Israel to liberate Al-Aqsa. Mm-hmm. If you recall, we are talking about our spiritual link with Masjid Al-Aqsa. So it is reported that in this last battle, it began on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And the Jews were nearing victory with Yusha as their commander. Yusha was the Nabi, and he was the commander, and he was the leader. However, the sun was nearing to set on Friday, and the Jews did not work or fight on a Saturday, as it was the day of the Sabbath. And Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam began to fear that they may lose the battle. So he looked towards the sun, and he addressed the sun, and he said, "You are commanded to, and I am also commanded from Allah. Oh Allah, stop the sun. Pause the sun." And the sun, subhanAllah, stopped in its place and remained that way until Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam was able to conquer Jerusalem and enter it. In the Jewish and Islamic calendars, the following day begins with the sunset. Mm. And the Jews were forbidden by Allah to work on a Saturday. And in fact, this what I've just mentioned, there is a hadith which details this incident. The hadith is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that one of the prophets made a holy war. He said to his followers, "The one who has married a woman and wants to consummate to his marriage but has not yet done so, another who has built a house but has not yet erected its roof, and another who has bought goats and pregnant she camels and is waiting for their offsprings will not accompany me." In other words, Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam made these conditions that the one who has married a woman and wants to consummate to his marriage but has not done so, he will not accompany me. Another who has built a house and has not yet erected its roof, he shall not accompany me. And another who has bought goats and pregnant she camels and is waiting for the offspring will not accompany me. So those that he asked to refrain from his army, he then marched on and approached a village at about the time of Asr Salah. And when he saw the sun was about to set, he said to the sun, "You are subservient to Allah, and so am I. O Allah, stop it for me a little." And the sun was stopped for him until Allah Ta'ala granted him victory. Subhanallah. This is a hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim. And we know that the above is referring to Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wasalam, because in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam clearly states that the sun has never stopped from setting for any human being except for Yusha on the evening he invaded Jerusalem. This is a hadith narrated by Musnad ibn Ahmad, and it was graded authentic by Ibn Kathir and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. So that is the story of Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, where eventually Allah Ta'ala allowed the Bani Israel to enter into Jerusalem at the hands of the victory that he granted to Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, with this amazing miracle of the sun pausing, and Allah Ta'ala paused the sun so that they could liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. It's another great significance of Masjid al-Aqsa, that not only did the sun pause for Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, but because of the nobility of Al-Aqsa, and Aqsa coming into the hands of Muslim. Now, when I say Muslim, remember we spoke about this in the few lessons that we had prior to this, that all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam came with the same Sharia, same message, same deen, Al-Islam. So, in order for Islam to enter into Masjid al-Aqsa, at the hands of Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah Ta'ala paused the sun. Ibn Kathir says that Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam lived up to 127 years old. He lived 27 years after the demise of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And for 27 years, Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam lived in Masjid al-Aqsa, taught the people, the Bani Israel, Islam in the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa, and that's another significance of Masjid al-Aqsa. Maybe you want to have some questions or you want to go for a break, inshallah.
Inshallah, we can go for a break and we'll continue from there when we come back from the break. Inshallah.
You are listening to Tears of Aqsa with Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Wednesdays 9 to 10 a.m. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We are doing the story of Tears of Aqsa. And just before the break, Ma, we went into a deep discussion of who Hazrat Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam was and the miracle of Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam and the setting of the sun. And we also did the story of why the setting of the sun was delayed for Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam. Ma, we've seen that now that the Bani Israel have entered Palestine, and we also read that they eventually were suppressed, oppressed by later rulers. They didn't remain in Palestine as rulers always. Ma, what lessons can we learn from this? Is there something that we can learn from the Quran and the principle it demonstrates to us?
Yes, Ma'ana. As we said, that eventually Allah Ta'ala allowed them to enter into Masjid al-Aqsa, into Jerusalem, and under the leadership of Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, while Yusha remained in Palestine for approximately 27 years, they ruled, they stayed, they enjoyed the fruits and the comforts of this place, and they were in Palestine, and they eventually were suppressed by later rulers, and they did not remain in Palestine as people that were in position of comfort, and they were oppressed, and eventually they were even taken away from Masjid al-Aqsa and Palestine. Now, there are certain principles that we can extract from the Quran and its narrative relating to the Anbiya, and more specifically, that of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam in the Bani Israel. And these principles and lessons that we want to extract from here is, and that's why we're having this discussion, because in the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah Ta'ala talks about the Bani Israel, there are lessons in it for us as the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should not fall into the same trap that the Bani Israel went into. Now, this is an important lesson that we can all learn from. And what I would like to do, Maulana, the discussion may be a little deep. However, I would like our listeners to just to bear with us, and they may interact with us if there are any questions that they would like to ask. I would like to extract certain historical facts from the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam of the Bani Israel, how they reacted to the Anbiya of the Bani Israel, and what lessons that we can learn from here. When we reflect on the ayat and the ahadith, and together with that related to current circumstances and events that we are experiencing today and seeing today, subhanallah, it only helps in igniting the sparks of iman within us. If you recall that the purpose that we commenced with this discussion is what we had witnessed a few weeks earlier in the month of Ramadan, where we find that the Masjid al-Aqsa and the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa was trampled upon. We saw the military going into the masjid, and that prompted us this discussion. So if you reflect on the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, and you reflect on the ahadith, and bring it and relate it to current events, it only helps in, you know, igniting the sparks of iman within us. Reflecting on these ayat and current situation is extremely important and necessary. Although we are talking of historical events and historical effects, and the historical route and events that took place at Masjid al-Aqsa, we find that things are repeating, and these are all things that Allah Ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already informed us. And when these were revealed, when these ayat were revealed, and when these things were narrated and reported by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one could not imagine how these facts will come. In fact, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to narrate some of the predictions of the future, many a sahaba used to be surprised, and they used to ask, will this really happen, O Rasulullah? And Rasulullah would reply, not only so, but even more amazing matters Rasulullah used to reveal to them. Now, these events were mentioned not to create panic, or not to let people lose hope, but rather to be prepared for the eventualities that is going to happen. And those eventualities of Al-Aqsa are actually, you know, are actually unfolding before us. These events were mentioned, again, as I say, not to create panic and not to let people lose hope, so that we, when we are witnessing what we are witnessing in the precincts of the sanctuary of Al-Aqsa, we should not lose hope, but rather we should be prepared for the eventualities. Example, let's take the example that we were informed of the third wave of corona. I don't think it was there to create panic. It was not mentioned to us so that we just sit back and wait for it, but rather so that we are prepared and we take the necessary precautions. In a similar fashion, the predictions of future events predicted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for being informed in order to take the necessary steps that will be required at that time. Now, before going into this, Maulana, you know, just a thought. In every unit of our salah, we are required to make a dua when we recite Surah Fatiha. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. A dua not for forgiveness, a dua not for Jannah, but a dua for hidayah and guidance. And the wordings are, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Take us on the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. And then, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala then even identifies that straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Guide us onto the straight path, that of the people. And this is, it's so important, so crucial to reflect on, that Allah Ta'ala said, guide us onto the straight path. And then Allah Ta'ala identifies the path by saying, the path of the people. So that of the people upon whom your blessings are. صراط الذين, the people, أنعمت عليهم, upon whom your blessings are. And then also save us from the paths, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, those who are deviated and those upon whom is your anger and wrath. The path of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not of those who have incurred your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. Now, subhanallah, you know, we need to reflect sometimes on the Quran Kareem and the choice of words and how Allah Ta'ala brings things forth. So Allah Ta'ala said the path mentioned is not of books and information. It's not of books and information, but rather of the people of these paths. People upon whom you have blessed and people who are worthy of your wrath. In other words, the path of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not of those who have incurred your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. Now, these are generally referred. The people upon whom your wrath and those who have gone astray are generally referred to as the Bani Israel and the Nasara. And after the surah, after Surah Fatiha, the next surah is Surah Al-Baqarah. And Surah Al-Baqarah gives a detailed account of the character and the biography of the Bani Israel. Hence, right in the beginning, these are detailed as warnings that we, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should not fall prey to the traits that the Bani Israel were engaged in. So Surah Baqarah gives an extremely detailed account of the Bani Israel, of the Yahud. And this is an extremely compassionate style that Allah Ta'ala adopts in the Quran for the Ummah to be warned, and a very compassionate way by which Allah Ta'ala adopts in the Quran to give us advice. Now, Mauna, the discussion is going to be a little bit lengthy, and I would like us to do this discussion in its totality in our next discussion, so we don't cut the discussion in its middle.
100%.
If that's okay with you, Mauna.
No, that is.
Because these are certain principles that we would like to extract from what I've just given as an introduction to our discussion now, if that's okay with you.
Jima, that's perfect. In fact, we can ask our listeners that they can rather call in now. We have like about 10 minutes left. We do have one head break left also. So 10 minutes left, inshallah, they can give us a call and let us know what they think of the program so far, and if we haven't covered any other section that they would like us to cover. So we have about 10 minutes left, inshallah. Let's go for a break, and inshallah, after the break, we'll take in callers. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. We're going to be waiting for the callers, and also you can send a WhatsApp on 072-328-7777. That's 072-328-7777. Let us know how the program is going, and if we have missed any other aspect that you want us to cover, then you let us know at this time. And inshallah, one of the, as we mentioned, a discussion about the ayats of the Quran and how it's we're going to play with it there. Deduce from the certain laws and that we can start from next week, Ma.
Inshallah.
Okay, we're going to go for a break quickly, and when we come back, we will be taking in callers, inshallah.
Ya Aqsa, hubuka fi qal
You are listening to Tears of Aqsa with Mawlana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Wednesdays 9 to 10 a.m. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We were discussing the Tears of Aqsa in Amar. Just one message has come in so far. Alhamdulillah, we enjoying the topic and we don't see that there's anything being left out. Shukr. Amar, that's the one message that we need to get. That Alhamdulillah, we see that people are enjoying the program. It's not going into too much detail. It's what we don't know that we're learning new.
Well,
we have 10 minutes left. Well, we've seen that now as we see our Gauteng going into, you know, the COVID-19 third wave. Why is anything to tell us about the third wave?
Gee, Mona, this is another story, Mona. You know, and you're asking, and, you know, recently there's been so many articles, posts, lectures, fatawa, a wide range of people, ulama, professionals, just all in sundry, and everybody wants to have their say. Some of them are being critical of whatever is being said out, some from professional people, then from ulama, and we're just seeing a barrage of things taking place. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this third spike that we are seeing, so many people losing their loved ones, losing their dear ones. And these type of statements that are just going around in the social media, in the platforms, public platforms, it does not provide solace and comfort to those that are losing their dear ones. And also those that are, you know, giving their time in the burial committees and the medical professionals. And yet we find there are so many just armchair critics just sitting back and just taking out and saying whatever they feel is best to say. You know, it's a simple thing. We're not going to go into the philosophies and the various ideologies and the conspiracies. The reality is that we are in the third wave. The reality is that we are losing many of our loved ones. And a simple call of just behavioral change. Let's just adhere to some behavioral change to lessen the impact of this third wave. And there's absolutely no need to, you know, create panic. But at the same time, there is no need to undermine and underplay the seriousness of this pandemic. I just don't understand what benefit is there in people underplaying this third wave of corona. You know, the seriousness of our situation is so serious, it's so severe. Let's just be responsible. Let's provide the right messages that's going out to all, to the professional community, to the attorneys, medical professionals, ulama. Let's just give the right positive motivational message. And we all know, alhamdulillah, I don't think there is a believer or a Muslim who has doubt on the qadr and the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala. We all believe that when it is time for our death, we will die, we will leave. Our time will not be delayed, nor will it be brought back. No one disbelieves in that. That's our belief. And we are firm in that belief. But at the same time, there is this concept in Islam of adopting measures of precaution. And the ahadith are filled with those things. So let's just adhere to some behavioral change. I would conclude here by just one hadith, Marana. You know, I think we've mentioned it once previously. As much as people sometimes, you know, have everything to say about science and medical professionals and everything else, there's such a beautiful incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and visit a sahabi or went and visit someone. And the person was ill. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his Mubarak hand on his chest. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diagnosed his sickness. And Rasulullah said to him that you are suffering from problems of the heart. Now, firstly, let us understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always divinely inspired. ما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. رسول الله will only say that which he has been inspired by Allah Ta'ala by wahi. Now Rasulullah has been inspired by wahi that he is suffering from an ailment of the heart. Subhanallah, subsequent to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even prescribes the medicine. Rasulullah prescribed a medicine that take ajwa seeds, pound it, grind it, and then use it for the remedy of this disease. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very profound statement in spite of being divinely inspired. Rasulullah said that in a particular place, there is a medical practitioner, go to him for advice on the way that this should be used. Now, what we are learning from here is that it's not all, the medical science is a thing that we can learn from, we can benefit from, and we should not discard the advice given by science and medical practitioners together, alhamdulillah, together with our deen. So in a nutshell, Maulana, the times that we are going through, the difficulties that we are going through, it helps nobody in underplaying the seriousness of this pandemic. Let us act responsibly. Let our behavior be a responsible one. And a simple call, let's adopt some behavioral change to help the situation on the ground.
Okay. Jazakallah for the advice. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Maulana again next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.